welcome to the first Japan Baseball Weekly podcast of June. I'm John Gibson, and joining me as usual is Jim Allen.
Hey, John, how's it going in Nagoya?
In Nagoya, I'm on the road. Well, it's going all right so far since I just got here. I haven't had the trouble yet.
You don't get the trouble, man.
Well, hopefully we won't do that. We got a lot of topics to discuss. We're going to talk about impact plays or lack thereof here in Japan, as well as interleague. So let's get to it. Here's Clearing the Bases.
All right. The first topic tonight is near and dear to my heart.
I know, as a San Francisco Giants fan, and we were watching that play together. We were watching that play together in the office, and Scott Cousins of the Florida Marlins bowls into Mr. Buster Posey.
That's right.
At the plate. And your column this past week was about that Buster Posey play, and
yep.
It was a fine piece.
You
even gave me a shout out. That was my second of the year.
You said exactly what would need to be said. This is a normal play in the context of today's game. There was nothing dirty about it. I think people, I don't like it, but this is normal, and it's something that we have to discuss from that context, not as something evil, not as something that's going to deserve any death threats of these morons.
Death threats, yeah, we got a problem with that with fans these days. Kill, kill.
Yeah. So it was a big deal because of the player involved. It was a big deal because it was slightly an unusual play, but it is the kind of play Scott Cousins had to make in today's game. No doubt about that.
Well, honey, you and I were watching the game, and it was the 12th inning, and you know what I said? I said, because usually on a ball that shallow, you don't send a runner in the middle of a game or even late, maybe even late in the game because you still have a chance to win. But in the 12th inning, you're on the road, something could happen. And something happened.
Yeah, Buster Posey dropped the ball.
He dropped the ball.
And then Cousins dropped him.
But as I explained and as we discussed, neither one of them thought that that was going to be the case, that he was going to drop the ball. Both of them thought that Scott Cousins was going to be out.
Sure.
And, Scott did what he's supposed to do, which is to try to jar the ball loose. And Buster, I think he got ahead of himself. He was probably turning. I mean, I haven't seen that. Of course, we've seen the play, but I don't like violence, and I don't like watching guys getting hurt. And I could barely watch it, after the second time when I saw his bone nearly cracking out of his shin there. I haven't really looked at it that much, but it seems to me that he didn't really even have time to realize that he didn't even have the ball.
I think he noticed, he went to make, he drops, the ball slips, he doesn't drop it, it slips out of his glove, he goes to make the tag, he doesn't know he's missing the ball until probably a split second before Cousins slams into him, he notices something's wrong. He looks down, and he's no longer aggressively moving toward the plate. He's sort of standing there looking down at his feet, and Cousins flattens him.
Yeah.
And they're both doing what they had to do. And my column was about, is this, people say, before we get ahead of ourselves, people said, umpire, we were reading that piece today in the Johnny Bench piece on ESPN. Johnny Bench said a couple of things. He wasn't very well informed, but umpire Joe West, cowboy Joe West.
Uh-huh, the singing umpire.
Umpire. And he said, this is as part of the game, and as much as a part of the game as apple pie, although I don't remember apple pie in the rules.
Or in the stands.
No, the hot dog part I remember. But he said, this is part of the game. This has been part of the game forever, says Joe West. Now, what he means by forever is as long as he's been umpiring.
Exactly.
That's a big difference. The game has gone through a lot of evolutions in forever. And I'm going to tell you that the game wasn't always like that. It has changed dramatically in the last 30 years, but what people know is the game now, and the context of the game now, Scott Cousins did what he had to do. What I want to ask is that the game we want? And do we want a game where people have to slam into catchers? Well, and you say, well, you said, John said, if Posey has the ball and he's ready to tag him, what else is he going to do? Be out? And the answer is, at every other base, yeah. Yeah, you don't knock around infielders. But they've in the last 30 years, they've said, oh, catchers are different. We can knock over the catchers.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, as I went on in the column at some length, is that they've allowed catchers to obstruct the plate, which is against the rules.
Right, and that's what when I walked into the office the next day and was talking to someone at the office, I said, "Hey, look, they're not enforcing the rules that they have written in the rule book, which is if you don't have the ball, you cannot obstruct the plate." And here's a case where that rule doesn't even apply because Posey thought he had the ball, was supposed to have the ball, and the runner also assumed that he was going to have the ball. So that
ball was on the plate. He was next to the plate.
Yeah.
So, and the Johnny Bench comment was, don't be in front of the plate if you don't have the ball. Well, he said Buster Posey was in front of the plate, and he wasn't. Cousins had a choice. Basically, his choice was, I can let Buster Posey make a sweep tag on me. I can try to hook around it, which is very possible considering the position Posey had. Or I can just knock him out of his shoes and try to be safe that way. And that was the choice Cousins made. That's the choice that has been in Major League Baseball since sometime around 1970.
Right. Well, I was watching the Mariners broadcast later on in the week.
Okay.
This past week. And Dan Wilson, he's a former Mariners catcher, was on the broadcast. And he said there's no need to change the rules.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, just enforce them. You know?
Sure.
Now,
of course.
And I guess I didn't look up anything. On a play like that, when they decide that the runner has, or that the catcher has obstructed illegally, do they automatically rule the runner safe?
Yes.
Okay. So
any base.
Start doing it.
Any base.
Start doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, start doing it. And then what you're going to see is what Johnny Bench pointed out was if you don't have the ball, you got to give the runner home plate. And then the rule is that the runner tags home plate and doesn't do what Scott Cousins is because the collision is no longer an essential part of the equation. As long as you let the catchers stand there and get in the way, you have to let the runners knock the catchers out of the way.
Right. But, I mean, can I tell you what I really think now? I mean, this whole situation and the death threats and all this other stuff, put that all aside.
Yep.
America loves all-American boys. All right, and Mr. Buster Brown, pocket full of posies, he's a darling. You know, he's a good, young, up-and-coming player. But I got to be honest, if this happened to one of the Molina brothers or Veritek or Pudge or somebody like this, there'd be nobody clamoring for a rule change. They would have said, you know what, that's too bad. These guys have had a good career, but that's just too bad.
You're correct, but sometimes it takes this kind of thing to happen to a big name to make change. And my case in point is Ray Chapman. Mm-hmm. You know Chapman?
Heard the name.
Okay, he was the star. He was essentially the Ray Chapman was essentially the who's the guy who used to play for the Baltimore Orioles? Cal Ripken Jr.
Okay.
Ray Chapman was the Cal Ripken Jr. of the 1920 American League. He was the big, handsome, star shortstop of the pennant-winning Cleveland Indians. Okay, well, they weren't the pennant winners. He wasn't with them when they won the pennant because he was dead, killed by a fastball that he didn't see because they used dirty balls at that time. They let the pitchers coat them in mud or manure or shoe polish, rough them up, cut them up. Late in the day, they had no lights.
Yeah.
A fastball, an underhand submarine fastball pitcher named Carl Mays could probably throw a submarine fastball about 90 plus miles an hour.
Yikes.
Late in the afternoon with no lights, hits Chapman in the forehead. The ball bounces all the way back. Chapman feels it at the mound because he thinks it's a grounder. It's hit so hard.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Chapman, Carl May.
The pitcher, yeah.
Kills him. He's dead in the hospital 2 days later. This changes baseball because it was a big popular star. Since then, without Ray Chapman, there is no home run explosion because of Ray Chapman, they started putting clean balls in play because it was a big star. I'm guessing that because it's Buster Posey, and only because it's Buster Posey, or if it had been, you know, Pudge Rodriguez a couple of years ago.
A couple ten.
Okay, 20 years ago when he was only 35 years old.
There you go.
I think we're going to see some way that the rules are either, I think, enforced. I think really nobody wants to see that, and if it was a lesser light, if it was, you know, a Molina brothers or some backup third string catcher, the Doug Gooch of this generation, they'd say, well, you know, thanks for playing.
Here's your home retirement.
Major League Baseball. Enjoy it.
Come see us anytime.
That's right. we'll remember you on Old Timers Day. But it's Buster Posey, they may seriously ask themselves, is this the game we want? Do we want catchers being separated from parts of their bodies simply because that's the way the game is?
Right. And the game here is not that way. And
it is not.
Conversely, we see a lot of lack of impact where there could be some plays where players actually slam into each other, but they avoid it.
Nope.
And it's a completely different game. And in that sense, yet it's the same game.
It is the same game. It's very well, although they do allow the Japanese cat here in Japan, they let the Japanese catchers block the plate, and the analysts and the managers will criticize catchers who don't block the plate. But the runners essentially will do the dumbest thing then, which is they try to slide into the base that is blocked.
Uh-huh.
And then they're tagged out. And then they say, okay, I've done my job. Which is silly because, one, they shouldn't be allowing them to block the plate in the first place. The game should be a matter of tag the guy out at the place like any other base.
Right.
The catcher's not wearing that equipment because he's meant to be blocking runners. Baseball wasn't meant to be played by linebackers.
Right. And I can't imagine, I mean, can you just for a second think about maybe somebody like the size of Tony Blanco.
Yep.
Ramming into Shinosuke Abe. The outcry.
Well, Tony Blanco, you know, he'll do it because that's the game, but sometimes the Japanese catchers will block the plate, but Alex Ramirez said, hey, if he's there holding the plate and I got no way to score except knocking him over, I'm going to knock him over because that's the way these guys grew up in the game.
Right, but I can't see that. I mean, you know, if he did a Pete Rose on somebody like Shinosuke Abe, I mean, if it's a Matoba or Suzuki of the Oryx Buffaloes or somebody like that, it might be a different story, but you run over Abe and you're gone. You'd be blacklisted from Japanese baseball.
I wonder what happened. You know, it's funny because a guy who popularized hard-nosed baseball as the defenders of Scott Cousins. And, you know, in my mind, Scott Cousins needs no defenders. He was doing what, in the context of today's game, he was doing what his teammates expected him to do, what he expected of himself, what the opposing team expected him to do.
And that's a key, because they didn't, you know, they played the next day and everything was fine. I don't know why Brian Sabian, went nuts. The GM for the San Francisco Giants went nuts
MLB.
Oh, well, that's good.
For having an opinion.
Well, not an opinion. I think it was because he made threats. And I don't usually.
I think he said it was evil what he did.
I don't usually hear GMs talking about other players and saying that, you know, they're going, our team's going to get you back, and speaking on behalf of the players when he's not down there on the field.
Yeah.
I don't usually hear that.
Yeah, he's not worried about a fastball up in the general manager's box.
Right.
Maybe he should be.
Exactly. Maybe he should be now. But, he's writing checks, and other people have to earn the money.
That's right. All the idiots in the general manager's offices, put your helmets on.
Right. But there was an impact play last night, or not, well, it was last night here, but not on the podcast, on Saturday night. Where the Dragons catcher, Motonobu Tanishige, got... He didn't get clogged. There was an impact. He was blocking the plate. He was straddling the foul line. On the third base side. Throw was coming up the line a little bit, a few steps, and he got in the way of, Takayama, what's his name? Hisashi?
Yeah.
Takayama. And, he got his left knee crunched and he got deactivated today. And, that is also rare. I mean, we might see one or two plays a year.
Yeah, he was in a bad position. And again,
I think he was in a bad position.
I think the point what I want to make is that collisions are going to happen, because collisions happen in baseball because people, runners and fielders, are fighting to get to the bag tag or to be either to tag the runner out or to be safe. Because they're trying to get there so hard, people are going to run into each other as a matter of course.
It happens at
first. If the ball is dislodged as a result of the fielder attempting to make a tag, the runner should be safe. The other hand, if it's a case where the runner has a choice to go to the bag or a choice to knock the fielder's head from his shoulders and thus be safe, a la Alex Rodriguez trying to knock the ball out of the fielder's hand.
At first base, yeah, a long time ago, in a playoff game or World Series. Yeah, I remember seeing him do that.
Yeah. And the umpire rightly called him out. Yeah. Why? Because he should have been out. That's not something you do. You don't dislodge the ball. You go for the base.
Right.
But with catchers, it's different. Now, it shouldn't be different. We don't need the extra injuries. We're going to have injuries anyway. We're going to have collisions anyway. But let's make baseball the game we want, which is about speed and technique. And sorry, guys, who think they can get an extra run by scaring the Jesus out of some little Japanese catcher. That's not what we need.
It's not. But, a lot of times where there could be guys who slide in hard at second base and try to break up double plays, they just kind of peel away toward right
field. Well, that's
the
major leagues. You know, I'll tell you, that's half the time in the major leagues, too.
Okay, because I don't see it so much. I at least see a guy maybe sliding about 30 feet from the bag, but I don't see him peeling off into right field and just getting out of the throwing lane altogether and saying, here, Dozo, have a double play.
Yeah, well, that was the Mike Herzog line about, he saw too many players look like they had an urgent appointment in right field.
I think I left my wallet out there.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So, I wanted to mention was Wally Yonamine, who they had a memorial service here. He died in March. And he was famous, the former ex-NFL player with the San Francisco, the former All-American Football Conference professional football player with the San Francisco 49ers, took up baseball and he brought his running back skills to the game. And he played that kind of baseball and he played a fairly hard-nosed game. And he brought that to Japan and the Japanese players weren't very fond of it. But it helped them win games. And there was talk about how he transformed the game, but I'll tell you don't see very much of that now. He may have transformed the game to make that possible, but in today's games with today's salaries, I think that's the big incentive. People want to play baseball. They don't want to be heroes. They want to be injured heroes remembered for their heroics on the baseball field when they were active before they got hurt.
Exactly. That's what I always think when I see Yoshinobu Takahashi of the Yomiuri Giants diving at a ball. I'm like, guy, dude, you could get hurt just looking at somebody dive at a ball.
I know there are people who can do it and there are people who can't. This guy's got brittle bones.
Right. Just, live to see another day. This one run as long as the bases aren't loaded, it's not the bottom of the ninth, because if it were, you wouldn't be in the game.
Hey, if it's game 7 of the Japan series, go for it.
Dive. Because, you're not going to win that many championships. But, game 45 against the Yokohama Bay Stars. fall.
Give it, yeah, fall over. Trip on your own feet first.
You know, and, yeah, live to see right. another day.
We have interleague play still going on.
We are in the midst of interleague, and we are in the midst of this another Pacific League run at the Central League, which we incorrectly predicted, or someone maybe named John Gibson incorrectly predicted the Central League would compete better this year and maybe even win more games than the Pacific League, and it's just not happening. Thanks.
It's just not happening. Well, nor are the Marines winning any.
The Who team, I picked the Swallows, and I think they won a couple in a row, and they've moved up from next
good
to last or something.
Good thing you didn't pick the first place Hiroshima Carp.
Oh, man, this is ugly.
It is ugly, and it's just more of the same. And, of course, we talked about last time about how the big impact in interleague play is the having a DH versus not having a DH, and then we see a game like last night where it looked like a pitcher from the Pacific League might be the deciding factor with a bat.
And it was driving me nuts. Okay, I'll be honest here. I mean, I told you I root before. I know everybody knows that I'm sitting there and
Cousin Don is sitting here wearing a Dragons shirt. You can't see it on the podcast, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything. But here it is, Kazuyuki Hoashi, you know, not only shuts out the Dragons most of the game, he driven in the only run. And, you know, it was a well-hit ball. You know, I thought you never know when you just see a line score, whether the line drive or if it bounced somewhere and nobody, or if it,
the ball looked
one
like
of these little loopers that nobody could reach.
Or maybe the ball looked like one of his fluttering little indescribable breaking balls.
But you know, it wasn't. And conversely, he hit it hard enough so that there was a play at the plate, and that's when Tanishige got injured. But I'm watching the box score and I keep seeing, you know, the Dragons make out after out after out. It's just one of the most frustrating things. And I tell you, these daily pitching duels are getting on my nerves. I like a one-run game. I love a one-run game, but I think once a week is far too much. And I think we're getting about three or four a week.
We had three shutouts today.
Ugh. And we had another 1-0 game.
We did indeed.
We had another 1-0 game. So, yeah, but the advantage with the bats
games today.
Oh no! You can't even keep track anymore. It's 1-0 everywhere. Hoashi almost beat the Dragons, but somehow they scrambled up a run in the ninth to tie, and then they got a walk off, and that helped, but because they got all the real hitters out, they just couldn't get the pitcher out when it counted. How are the pitchers doing? Have you looked at those numbers?
How are the pitchers doing is exactly how you think. With very little runs scored, they're doing great. I think I'll tell you. By the way, that was today's three games were the 49th, 47th, and 48th and 49th 1-0 game we've had this season.
I have 2 1-0 games today.
No. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Two. You're correct.
SoftBank and
Hiroshima
and Junior. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we have 48. We've had 319 games this year, and 48 of them have been 1-0.
48 1-0 games.
About 1/6. A little less than 1/6. About a seventh.
We're gonna have to get our crack research staff on, how many times these one-run games happen in a typical season, maybe the past 10 years, and then come back next week and talk about it, because it's just far too many. And I wouldn't mind if they were well-pitched games all the time where somebody's right. just dominating. But a lot of times it's just guys looking at strikes, you know, arguing with the umpire because they thought it was a ball or outside right. or low or something, or just swinging at balls in the dirt. And it's right. a lot of bad offense, too. And there was some good defensive plays in the field. There are most games, and guys are playing good defense. But some of the other guys, they're making it hard to watch.
Well, I think that's the effect of the few hits. I mean, there's a little desperation factor in there because it's just harder to get the hits together. People are trying harder. And what happens when you try too hard is you do even worse.
I can see guys pressing. I can see them saying, okay, you know, runs are down. We all know it. We've got to get this bunt down. We got to get this guy over. And then we've got to hit the ball somewhere where, you know, nobody can catch it. And they're pressing. And I can see it.
Yep.
But, you know, that doesn't – pitch recognition, you know, has nothing to do with, you know, how hard you swing. And they're just not even recognizing pitches and – letting good ones go by, and a lot of guys swinging at pitches in the dirt. So okay. I interviewed Vladimir Balentin this week, and he said something that I laughed at, because, I mean, that's a recipe for everybody. He said, I got to stop swinging at pitches and off-speed pitches in the dirt. And I'm like, who makes a living off of those?
Yeah. Well, there's a secret to success right there.
Right. I tell you this, I can not swing at all speed pitches in the dirt all day and still not hit 100. So. but that's a key. And guys are pressing. When they start pressing, they start swinging at bad pitches. And I've seen a lot of it. I hope it could turn around, because I prefer offense. I don't mind, like I said, the one once in a while, 1-0 game. But I like offense. I like to see guys get on. I like to see strategy. And the strategy right now is, you know, 1-2-3, and don't run too fast back to the dugout. You might get tired.
Okay, I'm going to have a number for you here in just a second.
Okay.
Really crack research, but...
Crack research, all right. Well, let's talk about SoftBank while we're waiting. They are beating the brains out of the Central League, and the Fighters aren't too far behind the way they shut teams out. They tied the Chunichi Dragons, who last year threw 5 consecutive shutouts, and they were able to do that. And their string was broken with the shutouts, and they pitched 52 consecutive scoreless innings and tying another Japan Pro Baseball mark. And that got snapped, and they lost the game on Saturday and came back today on Sunday and threw another shutout to win. So they're keeping – I mean, I think it's going to be hard for them to actually catch – SoftBank, because they, you know, again, when you have 2 Pacific League teams chasing each other in interleague play, they don't play each other. And,
right.
And that makes it really difficult to actually catch up. You just have to root for them to lose. And the way Central League is losing every day, that's not a good bet. And I don't really see it happening. I'm ready to throw in the towel, to be honest.
Okay, I'll give you a number here.
Alrighty.
See what this, how far I go back, because there's always a question. But right now it looks like the norm for 1-0 games in about the past 6 years is about 2% of total games played.
2% of total games played, which is...
171, I have 7,641 games in my recent season database.
Mm-hmm.
171 1-0 games. Okay, this year, think about that. We've had 325 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got 48 1-0 games.
That's far too many.
That's about 15%.
That's
about at least 7 times as many.
Yeah, we got to stop the madness. Change the ball.
You're the
change
man.
Change the ball. Just change it now. Just go back to what it was last year.
I know there are a few people who will agree with you on that one.
Call Mizuno. Somebody call him right now. That's just way too many. And like I said, it's not all great off great pitching. I mean, how's your fastball, Jim? I'm thinking if you can throw a fastball and a forkball, you can get by. At least for 5 minutes.
I'll tell you. I watched a game on Wednesday at Cebu Dome when Wakui shut down the Giants, and I think I'm not going to give you his pitch count, but it was remarkable. As some of you know, Wakui throws a lot of complete games, and he throws a lot of complete games with big pitch counts.
I think it was 102. I think it was 102.
60 is normal for him.
Right. Yeah. 102 or 107. I watched that as we talked, but it was somewhere in there.
Somebody asked Hisanobu Watanabe, the Lions manager, What about Watson, about Waukee's pitch count? What do you think? It's low. He says, you know, it's normally high. He's the kind of pitcher who runs high pitch counts because in most times he's worried about his control. Now he's just up there throwing because he's not worried about where his pitches go. He's pitching in the zone and he's letting guys hit it. And you know why? They're not hitting it. He's getting ahead of counts. Pitchers are throwing it in the zone with less fear. Guys who are good enough to pitch in the zone normally who don't are losing that fear, and they're going after the hitters. It's a whole different game. If they've got a pitch, especially if they got a fork ball, which we think is the big winner here.
Yeah, I do.
They got a fork ball and a pitch that'll stay up, a fastball, especially a four-seamer. Man, watch out. Lights out, baby.
Yeah, it has been lights out.
Although Wakui didn't even throw the fork ball that night, but the whole point is he's aggressive in the zone, and the pitchers are definitely taking control.
And it's, you know, a guy like that, he's an elite pitcher anyway. It's just making him look better.
Right. But, and I think that's the case. If you've got something that's going to work, there's no longer any fear. You know, there's no reason to hold back because batters are not squaring them up.
Right.
And they know they're not squaring up. And now what's happening when the pitchers work in the zone more? The batters are getting behind.
And then they start pressing. And then they start thinking they have to swing at the first.
Then they can make the guys chase.
Yeah, it was 100.
They can chase.
It was 102 pitches. He beat the Giants.
Yep, that is so not Wakui.
Yeah, even when, you know, I saw the interview after the game, and they asked him about, you know, how many pitches you think you threw, and he says, I don't know, but same as usual, right? And they said, no, you threw 102, and you know, he's Mr. Poker Face. He hasn't had an emotion since he was a kid. And even he was surprised.
I'm not going there.
Even he showed a little bit of surprise, you know, at that figure. So, he knows that they're not going
to. What do you say? Me and Darvish usually throw more than that?
Maybe they want to get paid by the pitch next year.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah, we talked about some of the runs again, not to harp on it, but. He said visiting teams have scored two runs or fewer in 130 of the 319 games. That was before Sunday's games.
Yep.
And home teams have scored two runs or fewer 72 times.
Right.
So this changes so much about the strategy. I mean, when do you guard the lines and when do you hold runners on? And how, you know, it puts an emphasis on turning double plays. Knocking the ball down on the infield.
You know what this is doing? It's making the game Japanese baseball expects. It's making every game a one-run game from before it starts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at?
They have all these
one-run strategies. And the funniest thing in the world is when I came to Japan, offense was at an all-time high in the mid-1980s.
Uh-huh.
And the paradox was, so were sacrifice bunts. There were never more home runs, and there were never more bunts. It became the thing. People confused the high run scoring with the sacrifice bunts because the most successful team, the Cebu Lions, bunted a lot because the manager is a crazy man. Was a crazy man. He's a nice fella, but he was crazy. But he was crazy. Masaaki Mori.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he loved the bunt. And he loves criticizing players who don't like the bunt, and he loves a boring game and he'll get him wins. But now we're seeing this massive increase in bunts because the managers know what's going on. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They know this. A bunt can be crucial, like never before.
Right.
And we're seeing about 50% more bunts.
And we're seeing a lot of guys who, you know, they come up there with runners in scoring position, and you know they don't know whether to swing, whether to look at the pitch, or they just look confused.
Yeah.
And
game's gone, baby.
And you got the power hitters are focused on, you know, the guys like Tony Blanco, who was sent down to the farm this past week. They're going to play their normal game because they're big, strong guys. But the other guys, they look like they want to try to guide the ball over the infield, but in front of the outfielders.
Well, I think what's going to happen, your comment about Tony Blanco is right on the button. The guys who should benefit. Now, this is going to take baseball back to the 1960s in the National League, where it was power and speed. They talk about power and speed in Major League Baseball. This is what they're talking about. Players like Willie Mays, who could fly and could hit home runs, because when hits are hard to come by, what's going to move runners is speed and power.
And that brings up, an interesting point, because the Hiroshima Carp set a new Central League record for fatality by failing to score over 50 consecutive innings this past week.
Wow.
And they're fast. So, you know, a walk, an error, a single gets a guy on. They steal a base. They can steal.
They're not getting guys on.
They're getting some on. They're just not getting them in.
Yep. Well, that's because
you can't steal home all the time, but I suggest you try.
Can't steal first either.
Maybe they can borrow it. They got to somehow figure out a way to get these guys in. And I mean, you know, 50 innings, and they scored runs the past couple of days, but they still haven't won a game. They lost 9 in a row. They're in the midst of their worst losing skid, I think they said, in 11 years. So it's not good.
Well, I'll tell you, most of the changes we've had with balls have been balls that have gone from being less lively to more lively.
Right.
Almost every time a team changed, it was to a livelier ball that was going to carry. Those are the adjustment batters have been able to live with.
Right.
This time the shoe is on the other foot. Now they got balls that aren't carrying. They're watching them go to the wall. They have to rethink everything.
Right, and I apologize. Hiroshima did not score today, but they're in the midst of this longest losing streak in 12 years, and that was a 13-game skid, and they're at 9 now. So hopefully they can turn this around somehow. But I would say a team that has speed like that shouldn't really slump so much, because they can steal bases, get into scoring position, put a lot of pressure on infielders.
What they are missing is the power. You know, they basically have two guys that can hit the ball out of the park, and Kurihara and, well, I guess Iwamoto is going to be one of those guys too. But
yeah, Chad Tracy, I don't think he's a great home run hitter, but he can hit the gaps, and he can hit the ball hard. He's going to drive the ball, so.
The gaps, yeah. Well, you need the extra bases, and the home runs are what this, you know, it's killing it, but you need the guys who can really hit. Nobody's going to be more valuable than somebody who can still drive the ball out of the park. Because one hit, you can put a run on the board.
Well, I don't think, you know, at all that the Carp are that bad, and I don't think the Hawks are this good. So hopefully something will turn around for both those teams and make these races in the second half interesting, because we're starting to have some serious separation, including the Tohoku Rakuten Eagles, who are they're killing their manager. He's the poor guy. I think he's going to rip his hair out. But
yeah, well, I thought at the beginning of the season he might survive. You know, he's had a couple of years rest since he last managed the Hanshin Tigers, and he had health issues. But I think the Tohoku Rakuten Eagles are another health issue on the horizon for him.
Yeah. I heard they're looking for, they're trying to get another foreign player, and they're going to go see if they can find somebody and bring in some help. But they need a bat. They counted on Iwamura and Randy Ruiz to bring some pop to that team, and both those guys are down on the farm.
Kazuo Matsui.
Yeah, Matsui's he's not providing pop, but he's doing what he does, which is fine.
Yeah.
At least he's as productive as they expected him to be. But the other two guys are really holes in the lineup, and they haven't replaced them. And conversely, they wonder why they're not scoring any runs at all. At least Ruiz would hit an occasional home run for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, they really need some help. They scored 5 runs today to get up to 98, and that's almost about 80 runs behind the Hawks.
I think you were asking today, what's the interest rate? How much? What's it going to cost him to borrow runs from Hawks from SoftBank?
Yeah, we promise to pay you back, and we'll bring back the runs all shiny and new, just like we found them.
They probably sell them.
Can we borrow some of yours? Yeah. Well, good luck to those teams, and good luck.
Yeah, they're going to need it. At least the Hawks will. I mean, the Eagles will.
All right. We were looking to have a guest on the show this week, but it'd probably turn out to be next week.
Any hint who that's going to be?
You know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot at the moment, right. So I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay.
But I have a couple guys lined up, and hopefully we can get them called to call on. You know, it's hard enough to schedule two people to sit down and talk. So add a third to the mix, and it just gets crazy here. But
all right,
we'll do what we can to get somebody on for next week and have a guest and get one of the players to talk and tell them what they're experiencing with the ball and with the pitching and with these low scoring games and with Interleague, as Interleague is about to hit the stretch run here.
Yep.
With the Hawks.
Do you think the Hawks are definitely just going to win it?
If you look at who they're going to come up against in the coming week, I know they still have Chunichi, who the Dragons are playing better than they have in up to now in Interleague, but the Dragons don't play them for a while. The Dragons are going to have to go up to Sapporo and play the Fighters, and that doesn't bode well.
And, well, the Dragons are only three games behind the Hawks, and with 10 games left to play. So that's not very auspicious.
No, it's. I'm throwing in the towel if I'm everybody else, and I'm fighting.
Well, Lions are two games back. They can do that.
But again, they don't play them.
They don't play them.
So they have to hope that the likes of the Yokohama Bay Stars can beat them somewhere along the line, or the Hiroshima Carp can wake up and maybe win a game tomorrow or something. I don't know. I just don't see it happening. They've gone through the tough part of the Interleague schedule, so they only have to cruise toward the end and not crash when they land, and they're going to land on top, I think. So
right.
I'm ready to call in the towel on my...
Yeah, they got the Swallows, and they've got the Bay Stars and the Carp left. Wow.
You tell me, buddy.
Yep. Okay, let's call this one.
We're calling it Time of Death.
All right, buddy.
All right, so please send questions for a player to be named later to yakujohn@gmail.com or put them on the post on my blog, and we'll ask next week when we talk to this player to be named later. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.